Summer School of Truth 2017, Two Kinds of Fruit Out of the Divine Life, Outline 11, Lesson 17.
Sam Kim, and I'm from the church in New York. And mainly I've been with the high school students. So I see you once in a while, here and there, and then also in the shared meetings, right? You remember the shared meeting that we had a few nights ago? Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to continue with outline number 11. So I'm going to share for about 20 minutes, and then Brother Chris is going to continue. So how about you take out outline? It's outline number 11. And let's read the title together. Let's start together again and strongly. Two kinds of fruit out of the divine life. And as you can notice, the outline is very short, so you have a lot of space. And you can try to take notes, okay? I hope I can speak in a way that you can have good notes. I would ask you, though, anyone want to guess, what are the fruits? If you had a guess. Have you ever heard about, yeah, anyone, just call out. What are the fruits?
Christian virtues.
Christian virtues. Oh, you're okay, good. You're reading here, okay. Oh, the answers are here. Sorry, I didn't realize. Okay. Right. Okay, let's read the outline then. It's short. One, Roman numeral one. Life bears fruit. Two, the fruit of Christian virtues. What are some of these virtues? Have you gotten to these memory verses yet? Yeah. Call them out. Call them out. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Self-control. Good. Right. The Bible, they call all of these things fruits. Fruits. Right? Actually, those are virtues. But if I would ask, sorry, Christopher is my nephew, so I know him. I know he gets picked on a lot, but I think it's sovereign. Because I didn't know he was going to get picked on the last meeting and the meeting before that. But he's the only one I know, and I know Antonio, too, so maybe I'll pick on you. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, you are my brother. Yeah. Well, if I wanted you to express love, right, then maybe I'll pick on William. William, I want you to love me. You're not too kind to me. I want you to love me. You need to treat me better. Yeah? Is that the kind of fruit? Actually, no. If I say, make me a ham sandwich, right? We usually have ham sandwich for lunch. You get the bread, you get the ham, you get it put together, right? But if I say, make me a banana. Can you make it? No, you can't make it. You don't make bananas.
It's already made.
It's grown. It's grown, right? It's something organic. No matter how hard you try, you can't do anything to produce that. Right? Oh, I want to make a banana. I'm gonna try really hard. I'm gonna put a lot of water and I don't know what. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So all these virtues, according to the Bible, these virtues of the divine life, it works in the same way. You can't, because you want to, you can't just do it. Actually, it's grown. It's born as a fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's spontaneous. You don't have even have to try. You don't even have to try. Let's read number three. The fruit of saved persons regenerated with the divine life. So this is the other kind of fruit. Have you ever prayed for remaining fruit? Or have you ever heard the prayer, saints praying for remaining fruit? Yes, raise your hand if you heard that term. Lord, we want to pray for remaining fruit. Actually, they're praying for believers. They're praying for the gospel. They're praying for others to receive this divine life.
Amen.
Right? That's another fruit. The Bible refers to the gospel as bearing fruit, as bearing fruit. And the Roman numeral four, let's read this together. Bearing two kinds of fruit. So according to these outlines, what are the two kinds of fruits? One, Christian virtues. And it's your memory verse, right? Those things that you memorize. And two, saved persons. It's persons. Do you know any people? Do you have friends? Do you have relatives? You have parents? Brothers and sisters? These are all people. They all can be fruit. If they're not saved already, they could be your fruit, fruit of the divine life. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to write this question down. Is it difficult to be saved? Do you know this term, to be saved? Salvation, right? Is it difficult to be saved? What do you think? No? Why? Amen. Anyone know the verse for that? Hebrews? It may be a verse in Hebrews, but... Do you all know Romans 10:9? Let's look at that together. You could write Romans 10:9. So you can turn to that verse, but also write that. Write that down. 10:9. Okay, let's read it. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do you have to do to be saved? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, right? Now, I was in a meeting once, and there were some older ones that actually did not know the Lord, did not receive the Lord, and all the saints were trying to get them to pray this, to pray and open their heart and to call on the name of the Lord, and they're trying very hard, and then eventually, two out of the four, they did it, and everyone was so happy. They were like, oh, they were so happy, and then it was kind of strange. I wonder, is it that easy to be saved? It's like... What's more difficult, to be saved or to get a black belt in karate? Actually, if you get a black belt in karate, you have to keep going up levels, right? You have to start level by level and pass test, right? Actually, some religions, you have to pass test. You have to take test, right? Is it harder than getting into a school like Harvard? Yeah. It's so easy. And so you wonder, how can it be so easy? Why is it so easy? Well, you have to see why it's so easy. That actually, do you know this diagram? It starts with God. And actually, you know, we learned that God is also our Father, right? And then God, he became a man, Jesus, right? God became a man. The Son of God. Jesus is called the Son of God. And he's also the Son of Man. He was 100% man and 100% God. And he lived a human life. Amen. And he died on the cross for our sins. He didn't have to die. He chose to die so that he can be the Lamb of God who can take away our sins. Amen. This is our redemption. And then he was buried. And then it said that in the Bible, he resurrected. He rose from the dead because he's God. Death can't hold him. And in his resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. So now, if you open your heart and you call on his name, he can actually get into you as your life. Now you have this life. You have this person, right? So that is salvation. So the reason why it's so easy is because God did so much work. Actually, this is very quick. We can talk many, a long time about this. He did so much work in his economy to accomplish our salvation. So the only thing we have to do is just open our heart, open our mouth, and he comes right in. And we have his life. And this life can start to grow in us. And then eventually, as this life grows, it bears fruit, right? If it's not difficult to be saved, why is it that people are not saved? Satan, yes. What are some of the reasons why people don't get saved? Why won't people believe on the Lord? It's so easy. Go ahead.
Stubbornness.
What else? The world. They're occupied, just like Shepherd shared with us early. They're just loaded with so many things. They're busy with their games and their movies and their music. All sorts of things. Too occupied. No room. No room for the Lord to come in. What else?
Judaism.
Huh? Judaism. Other religions. They believe in other things, so they don't want to. They believe because they don't believe in the Bible. Okay, go ahead. Okay, what? Lazy. Lazy is another thing. Right? Something in their disposition. They just don't want to. They don't care. They're indifferent. Right? Actually, there can be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Right? I'll tell you another reason why people don't get saved. It's because of us.
Wow.
It's because we may not open our mouths to talk about the Lord. We may have friends, but we'd rather talk with them about other things. They might ask you, what did you do this summer? Oh, I did a lot of other things, but you don't mention Summer School of Truth. I know because I was there too. Because it's so hard to explain. You know, it's different than everything else we talk about.
Yeah.
So actually, we're another reason why it's difficult for people to get saved. Right? So then I'm going to ask you another question. Is it difficult to bear fruit? Is it difficult to get other people saved? Yes?
No?
I would say yes and no. Let's open up to the Bible, and then I'm going to be really quick with these. Let's open up to John chapter 15. What's the question? Is it difficult to bear fruit? Is it difficult to get other people saved? I believe this is one of your memory verses, right, John? 15:16. John 15:16. Let's read this together. All right. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. How do you think God would answer this question? Is it difficult for you to bear fruit? No, it's not difficult. God in the Bible says it's not difficult for you to bear fruit.
Amen.
Actually, what should you do?
Abide
in him, yes. And ask. It says to ask. You need to ask. Actually, we need to have the desire for our friends to be saved. Right? And then we need to go to the Lord and ask, Lord, save my friend. Someone name a friend, one of their friends that you want to get saved. Just call it out, the name.
Johnny.
I heard Johnny. Johnny, Lord, save Johnny.
Amen.
Ask. Do you think God wants Johnny to be saved?
Yes.
So when you ask in his name, you're actually one with him. And in the Bible, it means you're abiding with him. Abiding just means that you're one with him. You're connected with him. So if you're one with him, you're connected with him, then if you ask, the Lord will answer this kind of prayer, right? So I'm going to stop here, and then Brother Chris will continue.
Good evening.
Amen.
All right, we're going to keep going along this line of questions. So he kind of already asked my question, but I'm going to ask it again a little more specifically. Who has a best friend? Raise your hand. What if you have what? You got friends, bro. You got me. All right. We're cool. That's right. You got a friend in me. Okay. So, okay. We're going to do the same thing. What is your best friend's name?
Peter.
All right. Very good. Step one, right? It's helpful to know someone's name. Okay. Now I have a question. Raise your hand if your best friend has not received the Lord.
Wait, from Chris, best friend from school or from here?
Your best friend.
Kind
of. Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lot that, you know, they necessarily have not yet received the Lord. Right? Okay, now raise your hand. Do you want them to receive the Lord? And then how about you raise your hand if there's a family member, either a grandparent, a brother, a sister, a cousin. Raise your hand if you want them to receive the Lord. And say a name. Say another name.
Edward.
Edward, right? This is, you know what? You know what you're doing right now? You're actually touching God's heart. You're actually touching His desire. The very deepest part of his heart. And you know what? It actually says it straight in the Bible. Okay? So we're going to flip to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Okay. And we're going to read verse 3 and we're going to read verse 4. All right. We're not there yet. Kenyell's not there yet. He needs a second. Okay. Are we all there?
Wait. Which
chapter? Chapter 2?
Which verse?
3 and 4. All right. Here we go. Okay. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. Pause. Our Savior God, go. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. What is God's desire? That all men would be saved, right? All men. Men and women, right? That's what this includes, men, right? Okay, so all these names you guys just mentioned, these are the men that the Lord is after, right? He's got some of you already, you know. Maybe some have recently been gained. But you know what? This is God's desire. Okay, my desire tomorrow is to play frisbee. And my desire tomorrow is to beat the young people, right? Okay, hang on. The reason I say this is because my desire is what makes me happy, right? You know, were you guys hungry today? Right? And then your desire was to eat dinner, right? So when you eat, it makes you happy, right? This is your desire. It's the same way with God, okay? And actually, there's a little story that some of you may be familiar with about actually showing that this is what makes God happy. So there's a woman one day, and she's sitting at a well, right? And the Lord's hanging out with his buddies. I need this whole front row to come up here, right? Okay, come on. Put your stuff down. We got to make it quick. I'm on a time crunch. Okay, so I'm hanging with my buddies, and there's a woman sitting at a well. So we come over, and it's like, hey, guys, I'm hungry. And they're like, man, we don't have any food. Say, we don't have any food.
We don't have any food.
We don't got
any.
Okay. And then they're going to be like, we're gonna go get food. So go back to your chairs.
Okay, bye-bye.
They're going to go get food. Okay. So I'm now over here, right? And I'm speaking to this woman at the well. And she's an unbeliever, right? And I'm talking to her. And you know what happens? They go through this little conversation. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm thirsty too, right? Anyways, what happens is the Lord Jesus ends up leading her to believe, right? To receive the Lord at that moment. She gets saved. And so then the disciples come back. Come on, quick, quick, quick. They come back. And they're like, say, can y'all say, here's some food.
Here's some food.
And I'm like, oh, I already ate. And you're like, what? What's going on? Right? I already ate. Okay, go sit down.
Okay, bye-bye.
Anyways, what I want to show you is that actually the Lord Jesus' food, God's food, what makes God happy. Don't you guys all like to eat? When you eat, you know, you guys ever heard of the term hangry, being hangry? No, nobody likes someone that's hangry, right? No one likes that, right? But when you eat, oh, you're a little happier. You know, I'm like that. Okay, the same way with the Lord Jesus, though, is that when someone receives the Lord, that's his food.
Amen.
He said, I have food that you do not know about, right? So really what your friends are, if they receive the Lord, and we're going to go over five things tonight, how to lead your friends to salvation, right? That's really what this is. And you know what? This makes God happy, and this makes man happy. Because what makes God happy is what makes man happy. That's really what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about what makes God happy. Don't you want to make God happy?
Yeah.
I do. Okay, so I need you guys to use your excellent note-taking skills to write down 5 points, okay? We're going to go one by one, okay? So the first point, be specific. Okay? Use the blue one. Okay. Be specific. And you can write down James 4:2. Okay. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Or it says, another way to say it, you don't have the things you want because you don't pray for them. Your friends, don't you want them to get saved? Actually, the first verse in that chapter, and I specifically skipped it in 2 Timothy, I exhort therefore, and it says, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Step number one, if you want your friends to be saved, you need to?
Pray.
Okay, that was weak. Step number one, if you want your friends to be saved, you need to?
Pray.
You need to?
Pray.
Very good. And you need to be?
Specific.
You need to be specific, right? Okay, so a little story recently. A friend of mine. You guys like stories. I always love stories. You know, they're just fun to listen to, right? Perk up a little bit. So a friend of mine, her name is Rebecca, and there were a few of us, we were hanging out, and we were having dinner, and we were singing. And at the end of the time, someone just asked, is there anything we can pray for? Rebecca goes, well, actually, my grandfather, he's on his deathbed. And this is just a couple months ago. He's on his deathbed, and he maybe only has a week to live. True story. And she just says, you know, my mom, my dad, my sister, we've all been praying desperately for him to receive the Lord. And his wife had just recently passed as well. And so said, can we pray that he would receive the Lord? We didn't pray for his health. We didn't pray that his days would be extended. But we just prayed, Lord, that we would know that Rebecca's grandfather would receive the Lord. Well, you know what? We got a text message 2 days later. He received the Lord. He had lived about 80 years, and finally, he receives the Lord.
Amen.
Be specific. Amen. You need to, first of all, pray, and you need to be specific. You pray specifically. We can pray generally, but you know what? We need to learn to be specific in our prayers. Okay, another example, okay, and write this down. This is also like subpoint A of number one, make a list. Okay, and this helps us in being specific. Okay, there's a brother He passed away a number of years ago, but he made a list of 171 of his classmates. And by the time he finished school, 170 of them were saved. He prayed for each one by name. Each one by name. 171 and 170 were saved. A few years later, number 171 received the Lord. Isn't that awesome? But you know how it starts? Making a list. Being specific. Right? There's three that always go at the top of my list. Jeffrey, Connor, and Jameson. Three friends of mine. I don't see them very often, but they always come up in my heart. Again, Lord, Jeff McDaniel's salvation. Connor and Jameson Kelly's salvation. Right? I pray for them many, many times. And I truly believe one day they will receive the Lord. There will be an opportunity. Okay. Number two, do not miss aim. Do not miss aim. And I'm going to explain this. And you can write James 4:3. Okay, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask evilly, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Or you could say, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly." Okay? And I won't spend too much time on this point, but I will say there's actually something really precious about this, is that whenever we pray for our friends, sometimes we can pray for certain things, you know. But I just want to focus on the gospel tonight. We can actually pray in a way that we would interfere in our friends' lives. There's this word intercession, which also means to interfere, okay? Maybe some of your friends aren't of this age yet, but, you know, some of our friends and my friends, they start, you know, I'm burdened for them, and then they get a boyfriend. Or I'm burdened for them, and then they get a girlfriend, right? And now they're occupied with this. But if you've been praying for their salvation and this comes up, you know what you can actually do? Lord, if this benefits them in their salvation, break them up. You can pray that. Really, you can pray this because you know what? What is God's desire? Right. And is this girl, right, that one of your buddies is now with, getting in the way of him receiving the Lord? Possibly, right? Probably. You know what? So you know what you can actually do? If it benefits them, right? Not just because you don't like her or this or that, but really, if the Lord leads you, you can pray that, Lord, you would break them up. But you need to be clear. This isn't just what I want. Lord, this is what you want. Because you desire that all men would be saved. That this would be a remaining fruit, right? Okay. Number three. Confessing sins. Confessing sins. Psalms 66:18. And I actually experienced this tonight, just before. Or you could even say, for me, it was kind of clearing the past. So there's this brother that I saw here, and I was surprised to see him this week. There's a brother that I spent a few years with, and I've known him for a number of years. Anyways, we were having dinner tonight, and he had to leave. So we said our goodbyes, and I left. But the Lord reminded me that this brother had lent me a cell phone. And it was old. It was like a first-generation Galaxy. It was old. But he had lent it to me a number of years ago. And it was never really clear if he gave it to me or if he lent it to me. But every time I would see it, it would bother me. It would bother me, right? And as I was walking away, the Lord just touched me. Curtis, remember? And you know, I was going to come and spend time to pray. I was going to do something good, right? I was going to pray about tonight and speaking to you guys. And the Lord just touched me. You need to go talk to him. You need to go confess. You just need to open. And I went and talked to him. And we cleared it up. Oh, I've got rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being, right? At that moment, boom, there's a flow, right? Right away, I got cleansed, right? And there's a way for life to flow. And there's this awesome verse, Psalm 66:18. It says, "If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear it. Or you can also say, if I had harbored sin in my heart, he would not have listened. So now we're talking about us. You know, we're talking about praying for our friends. But now, okay, I'm talking about myself a little bit. If I harbored sin in my heart, you know what it can be? Even simple as, you guys are burdened for your friends, right? But did you know actually taking care of your parents can release their salvation? Who has ever talked back, given a bad attitude, a look, rolled their eyes, said something under their breath to their parents? Yeah. Whew. It's bad, right? Isn't one of the commandments honor your father and mother? Right? But sometimes it happens so often, maybe you just brush over it and you're just like, oh, yeah, they'll get over it. But you know what? Yeah, that's good. It's good to feel bad. We need to take care of that. That's a sin. You know what? But if you just keep pushing it aside, actually, because of that, even though you may be praying for your friends, it may hinder the Lord releasing their salvation. Because it says, He will not hear our prayer if there is sin that has been harbored, if there's sin that's been sitting in our heart. Wow. You know what? And even our brother Sam was talking about these virtues. These virtues really are just an expression of Christ. Okay? We can talk about them. We can recite verses. But you know what? Actually, what we need is just a living that expresses them. Okay, now imagine this. You're telling your friend about the gospel, right? Kenyao, you show up. You're like, I did this at summer school of truth. And we were talking about life. And God himself is life to us. Amen, right? This is awesome. Then right after that, he's like, yeah, come on over to my house, right? And he wants his friend to receive the Lord. But then all of a sudden, his mom tells him to take out the trash or clean his room. He's like, later. I don't want to do it right now. What kind of attitude is that? What kind of testimony is that, right? What is his friend going to say? This is a Christian? This is a, you know, there's really something about, leaving no barriers between us and the Lord, leaving no sin between us and the Lord, whether they see it or not, because the Lord wants to flow out his life, right? Those Christian virtues, they're fruit. They're an expression of life. And actually, there's this phrase, I love it. It says, when preaching the gospel, use words when necessary. You guys ever heard this? When preaching the gospel, use words when necessary. This really points to our living. When you're taking care of the trash, when you're doing your homework, when you're helping a friend at school, are you always saying something or is it more just your actions? A lot of times it's your actions and someone may notice. That's what could open somebody to the gospel, right? But we need to make sure that there's no blockages between us and the Lord. Okay, number four, believing. Believing. Mark 11:24. Okay, I need to go a little faster. When we pray, we need to believe that the Lord will release this, right? Mark 11:24 says, for this reason I say to you, all that you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and you will have them, right? Lord, Jenny's friend. What's your friend's name? Huh? Emma. Lord, your desire is that Emma would be saved. Save Emma. You need to believe this. If you believe it, it will be released. She will receive her salvation. You'll receive a sister in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We need to believe what we pray. Amen. Okay, number one, we need to be? Okay, come on. It's on the board. This is like the easiest test. Okay, number one, be?
Believe.
Number two?
Promising.
Number three?
Confessing.
And number four?
Believing.
Okay, this is the good one. And there's a little story that goes with it. Okay. Number five. Here we go. I even got to flip my paper over. We need to persevere. Persevere. And this is Luke 18. There's a story that goes with it. Okay. Some of you may be familiar with the story. It's a wonderful story. So there's this widow, right? There's this widow, and she's lost her husband in an unrighteous way, right? And so she goes to this judge, and she says to him, what is it? There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to the unrighteous judge saying, avenge me of my opponent, right, of her opponents. And for a time, he would not. The judge wouldn't. But afterward, he said within himself, even though I do not fear God nor regard man, this is the judge, yet because this woman, this widow causes me trouble, I will avenge her. He's finally like, fine, I'll do it. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, right? Someone's like, hey, can I have your sandwich? And you say no. Say no. Can I have your sandwich?
No.
Eventually, I keep doing it. You're like, fine. You know what? Actually, that's how we need to be in our prayer. We need to be like that in our prayer, is with the Lord. Because actually, he positions himself as this judge that he says, do not lose heart. We need to pray in this way for our friends. My mom, she has nine siblings in her family. She's number four of nine. My dad's one of six, okay? My parents come from big families. I know my mom, she's been praying for many of her siblings. Some are in their 70s now. She's been praying for their salvation. Her mother was 88 years old, you know, received the Lord late on in life. Prayed fervently. Prayed persistently. Amen. Do not lose heart. You know, I've known stories of people praying for years and years and years. Okay, the reason I bring these points out is because do you have a desire to bear fruit, right? Isn't even that why we're here? Brother Sam brought out a wonderful verse, right? I chose you. Amen. You didn't choose me. I chose you that you would bear fruit. And you know what? That it would remain, meaning it'll be here in Summer School of Truth next year. Or maybe it'll be here the year after. You know what? Maybe it doesn't make it while you're in Summer School of Truth, but they'll come back as a TA, right, Will? Yeah. You know? Or maybe they'll come back later than that and they'll be speaking. Who knows? But you know what? We need to be specific in our prayer. Amen. For our friends. We need to be on point. We got to hit the mark. Lord, release Emma's salvation.
Amen.
Right? We need to confess our sins. We need to stay clear before the Lord, right? Lord, I don't want anything to come between, right? If you're that desperate, aren't you willing to do whatever it takes, right? Actually, the more you pray, the more your desperation, your desire, your heart will just grow, okay? And we need to believe, you know? And really, we need to persevere in this way. Okay, I want to bring it back now to this matter of life. All these things, we can try and we can do it, and we can try and make the banana, right? You're like, ah, you're trying to do this. But you know what? Actually, along the way, we need to invite the Lord in our prayer. That's really what it is. We need to invite the Lord in as you're praying for Emma. Lord Jesus, Emma. Amen. Lord, I've been praying for her for 6 months. Lord Jesus, I just bring her to you again. Supply me in my prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, I just want her to receive you. I just want her to experience the life of God, right? And actually, this, you guys have a perfect opportunity. You start school in a couple weeks. Okay. Hang on. No, because you know what? This is good. Because actually bearing fruit, bringing people to salvation, is the greatest joy on earth.
Amen.
Actually, in that chapter of John 15, the Lord says, I will make your joy full. I will make your joy full as you bear fruit, as you do all these things. So actually, you should look forward to going back to school.
Amen.
And you see Emma, and you're like, you know what, Emma? I got God's life in me, and I'm praying for you. Maybe you don't have to say that to her. But you know what? You should be excited because you guys have, I know you guys have enjoyed a lot. And you have the opportunity just to say a little something. You get to sow a seed, right? You guys get to share your enjoyment. Just flow out that life, right? So this is something that's very normal. This is extremely normal, right? I'm just so impressed. These were new to me. Oh, so good. I need to practice them. Maybe if we see each other before next year, we can talk. Have you been doing this? Curtis, have you been practicing the five things? Have any of your friends come to receive the Lord? I don't know. Have you? Right? I'm excited to take this way. I'm excited to flow out, right? That I would enjoy bearing fruit. That some of my friends would come to receive the Lord, right? So maybe we can just stop here. I think there'll be more sharing this week about speaking. But my heart tonight is that we would have these 5 points. One other thing with confessing, the verse after it is awesome. And anyways, what it says, but you have heard me. The verse after, it says, I don't hear you because you harbored sins, but it says, but he heard me, meaning that he was clear and the prayer was answered, right? That's the good part that I left out. Anyways, how should we continue, brothers?
Amen. I'd rather talk about making a list. I think it would be good for